There has never been a more dangerous time for media workers and journalists in particular. They are being killed and imprisoned worldwide in record numbers. Journalists face daily threats, attacks and intimidation from individuals and public figures who are prepared to silence them for their parochial interests. These and other global media concerns have reignited the United Nations Plan of Action on the Safety of Journalists, thereby instituting November 2, starting this year, as an international day to end impunity for crimes against journalists. In this feature, Rosemary Gazy looks at the spate of violent acts against journalists and how best to tackle them, with the plight of the Ghanaian professional in focus.
Depending on the area that you select, investigative journalism, legal journalism, when you go into the war zones, you may be killed by a stray bullet.
You'll be beaten and you'll be wounded. Sometimes you'll be killed. Is that not it?
If I'm having a son or a daughter, I would not advise him or her to do such a risky work. Our work is very tedious.
If the voice of the people is indeed the voice of God, then what you just heard depicts the fact that journalism is one risky but critical and yet selfless profession that needs the protection of its leadership, state actors, civil society, and all well-meaning citizens who acknowledge the media's role in development. They are intimidated, assaulted, abused, threatened, detained, jailed, and in some cases tortured, and even murdered, with many of their perpetrators going unpunished.
In 1986, I remember asking a question at a press conference, and then 2 days later, ending up in prison for 6 months.
There is no story I have done which has not come without a death threat. I got picked up in Seychelles when I was doing How to Rob Africa. At the airport, I got busted.
My camera and my sound man were asked to join the military band. They were asked to remove the shoes so that the shoes would be searched. Our wristwatches, everything, phones were seized for about 2 hours.
These and many untold plight of Ghanaian journalists, plus the more bizarre stories of those in other parts of the world, make laudable UN setting of November 2 as the International Day to End Impunity for Crimes Against Journalists. According to the General Secretary of Reporters Without Borders, Christophe Deloire, 2013 was the deadliest year for journalists, with 89 killed in connection with their work. UNESCO head and representative in Ghana, Tiso Dos Santos, buttresses this with more disturbing facts within 10 years.
In the past decades, 700 journalists are reported to have been killed while on exercising their duties and the obligations to inform the public. In 2012 alone, our Director General has condemned the killing of 123 journalists and media workers, as well as social media producers. If we come to 2003, the number of killings has reduced, but still remains very high at 91. The choice of the 2 of November was based mainly on the fact that those two journalists were killed in Mali, and it was felt that their killing is representative of many others that have...
The case of Dilejiwa in Nigeria, between 1981 and about 1989, that appears to have been the most serious period.
Narrating a personal experience of detention in the 1980s, the outspoken and confident-looking professional noted that journalism practiced the world over has such consequences. Though his imprisonment had no impact on him in any way, Mr. Pratt admits it is never commonplace being in jail.
Well, it's not normal to be arrested and kept in prison for 6 months, but it comes to the territory. It's part of the things one expects when he's in journalism. We can be arrested again, we can be detained again, we may even be killed.
Do you recall what exactly you said, and were you cautious of what you were asking?
It was Professor Kwesi Boche who gave a press conference about the state of the national economy and had indicated that the statistics that he had poured out were irrelevant, you know, when it came to the real concrete problems he confronted the people of Ghana. You know. And 3 days later, I was in prison.
After a long-cherished history, the Ghanaian media are touted as one of the freest, currently the third on the continent, following constitutional rule since 1992. Its fight against corruption is so much revered, as echoed by President John Mahama at the 69th UN General Assembly.
And I dare say that the media in Ghana is probably the freest and most vibrant in the world. If you wake up as president, the political talk shows start at 6 a.m. and at 10 a.m. If you survive that period as president, then you will survive the rest of the day. And so you are criticized, commended, and I mean, but we all take it on board. It helps in transparency and accountability, and I believe believe that that is the right way to go.
Nonetheless, Ghana police is not oblivious of media attacks in recent past. DCOP David Nenyi Ampabenin is the Director General, Public Affairs Department.
Prominent among them was the murder in cold blood of Mr. Eni, one time the Ashanti Regional Chairman of the Ghana Journalists Association. The police, they were able to arrest some of the assailants, and I believe that the courts have done justice with this very case. There was another issue where the armed forces and hundreds of journalists had paraded at Independence Square. There was a dialogue between the armed forces and the Ghana Journalists Association, and the armed forces, I believe, were quick to apologize. The recent one is a reporter at Daily Graphic who also was manhandled by Samuijan and his brothers or other hooligans. The police strictly arrested Bafoijan and some others. Case was supposed to go to court.
In the view of the Ghanaian media leadership, a call to end impunity for crimes against journalists is long overdue. Roland Afelmoni is the president of the Ghana Journalists Association.
We should not wait until the worst scenario is played out. This is the time for all of us to join forces to stamp out impunity in all its forms and guises.
What is the take of the public who the media serve?
I think the journalists themselves should educate the public very well.
If the government can take care of them, because their work is very risky, can ensure them so that they too, when they are doing the work, they will do it wholeheartedly.
If you are to look at the assholes, we are not going to do what is right.
It's a very nice job, which I can recommend my family member or any member or even my son to go into it.
If you really want to do the job and you do it wholeheartedly with love, if the person has any evil thoughts, Quran, the person will stop.
In no mean terms, we are serving a public good and need all the protection to go about our work. It is time to bring the culture of impunity to an end and attack the roots that sustain it. It may be prudent to challenge the legal frameworks that allow it to fester and the powers that encourage or turn a blind eye to it all in the name of political expediency.